This is 29 Acacia Road, and this is Eric, the schoolboy who leads an amazing double life. For when Eric eats a banana, an amazing transformation occurs. Eric is Banana Man, ever alert for the call to action.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. We're just wheeling around until we get to that final episode of Sigma 6. I know you're all waiting for it. Gosh knows I am, but we have some stuff we're trying to put together, and it's been difficult. So we're doing Banana Man from 1983, which I'm going to go ahead and let you in a little spoiler right here, is delightful.
I hated it.
Oh my God. Delightful. I'm on Ray's side. And here's the thing, because I had a feeling Chan was going to hate it. And this is what I will say. This show to me, if this was in on like Adult Swim late night in 2005, people would have gone fucking nuts for it, including you, Chan.
Really?
Yep.
I were that high, I would have gone nuts for fucking anything.
Yeah. Well, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we, like, all, but you hear that? I say I like something, and they both immediately need to jump in and start shouting things. That's life in a nutshell.
Fucker?
What's that?
I agreed with you.
No. You were fine.
Ray forgot that we were two separate people for
yeah,
just
a exactly.
Second.
He only hears the dude speaking.
I mean, this has been well established before this point, Gene. I don't even know what you're mad at anymore. But that was a good point, Chan.
You know how women are.
How are they, Chan? I'd like to know.
Hold on, let me put on my no. I never got around to making a men's rights version of me. You got MRA. What am I gonna do?
I think you're just Andrew Tate, aren't you?
Chandru Tate.
Chandru Tate. Oh, that's it.
Fair enough.
I mean, he does go by Cobra Tate, so I mean, it all still applies to G.I. Joe.
That's
just saying.
I didn't need to know that. Oh, I already know too much about Andrew Tate, and the extent of my knowledge of him is that I know his name. And that he does sex trafficking in Eastern Europe.
I know his dad.
Wow.
His dad, very famous chess player. And yep. As we all know, chess players only can raise people who commit sex trafficking.
Listen, yeah, I don't want to get sued, but his dad was always weird. I've known him since I was little. My brothers played him before.
Wait, does this mean that you and Andrew Tate, is this like a Muppet Babies thing where young Gina and young Andrew Tate were playing in the street together?
I have to ask my brother if he ever, I don't think his dad was the greatest dad. So I don't think he was bringing his son around chess tournaments too much, but I have to ask my brother if he ever remembers, hanging out with him when we were little.
Well,
the chess community growing up now it's different, but you know, it's a small community. So, if there were kids in chess, we pretty much knew them, especially if they lived on the East Coast. So yeah, we knew,
there you go.
We knew his dad.
This is like seeing those pictures, of Epstein putting his arms around various people. And you're like, oh my God, on Epstein's plane. Oh my God. She was at his island. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You feel
They're doing that with Puff Daddy right now, where they're like, look at all the people who were at his parties. And I was like, bitch, I could have been at one of his parties. Who the hell knows who's at these parties?
So, you know, Gina's told us some very disturbing stories of how men talked to her at these chess events when she was younger. Is it possible that was just Andrew Tate?
I wish I did remember him, but I don't. I don't remember him. If I did meet him, he was not memorable at all, which I'm sure is what every woman he's ever slept with has also said.
Oh, boy. Ooh,
I feel like the ones that he imprisoned probably have a fairly good memory of him.
Yeah, they probably have an opinion somewhere in there. Yeah.
They could picture his face.
Anyway, we're talking about Banana Man from 1983, which I'm just on the wiki right now. They don't talk. Oh, the television cartoon series. Oh, okay. Anyway, this was a cartoon for me, at least. It aired on Nickelodeon when I was a kid, and they used to play it like before other shows. There would just be a Banana Man episode, and each one is about 5 minutes long. For the purposes of this, Chan found an hour-long video, which we said under no uncertain terms we will not watch the entirety of. So Chan, I still think, went too high, but he picked five episodes, and we all watched five episodes of Banana Man, totaling about 25 minutes total.
It was so
this is based on a British comics character that's supposed to be like a parody of superheroes.
Correct.
And he's kind of like Shazam. He's a little kid that when he eats a banana, he turns into, instead of saying Shazam and then getting buff, he eats a banana and gets buff. And his whole costume is decked out with delightful banana accoutrements. Like his Batman little cowl, instead of little bat ears, they're little bananas. I like it.
Yeah. And reading here, it aired opposite Danger Mouse, which is another show we absolutely need to do. I bought the DVD set of that somewhere around here. Mm-hmm. Danger Mouse, one of my all time favorite. Danger Mouse then became a spun off to Count Duckula, which I know we have watched Count Duckula on the show before. So Banana Man and Danger Mouse, you know, sort of like shared a half hour together. So that's sort of where I remember it from. I believe they must have done like a Banana Man, a Danger Mouse, and then another Banana Man, maybe. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, that's where we know it from. And the gist of this show, as Gina just basically laid out, is it's a kid, you know, young, but not too young. And every time he eats a banana, he becomes a Hulking superhero.
What does that mean, Andrew Tate?
I don't know. That was so weird.
That's Ray went Andrew Tate there for a moment.
When I say a little kid, I think of like what we have at home, 6 and 7 year olds.
You realize,
but he's much more of like a 10 or 11 year old, which means he's not so young, but he's still, you know, a kid.
You realize that is so creepy.
That's creepy.
Here, I will say this. I will say this. He looks old enough to not have to be home with a babysitter.
And yet,
the first time we see him, he's what appears to be the beginning of a porno where he's playing cards with a babysitter. Because like she is not old enough to be watching this much too old boy.
It is a little weird.
Here's the thing. I was babysitting from the time I was around 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And when I was 15, I babysat 4 kids, the youngest of which was a baby and the oldest of which was like 10. So
who allowed that?
I mean,
times were different back then.
Yeah. I mean, there were I got a ton of babysitting work when I was 15.
I mean, it's hard to say because like I was a latchkey kid from the time I was like 7 or something like that.
Same.
So, like, to me, it's like, why are there adults in the house at that age? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You should be, you know, already working the steel mill by then.
Also, yeah, it's not 15 year olds that are raping the kids. It's the full blown adults.
I'm not concerned with this particular babysitter diddling the child. Some concerns, again, yes, with the way Ray phrased it, but mostly I think I'm concerned with the one of us here who pals around with sex traffickers.
Yes, I mean, thank you, Chan.
Listen, you can't grow up playing chess and not encounter a sex pest every week.
This is true, but also proving my point. Also, we all did comedy for enough years that probably half the people we know are sex pests.
That's true. I think the more hobbies you have as a kid, the more you encounter sex pests.
But definitely chess and comedy are the top two for encountering sex pests.
I don't know. I mean, sports, there are a lot of sex pests in sports.
Well,
I just think hobbies in general, like as a kid, there's sex pests.
Oh, please. If you play Warhammer, You're not running into sex pests.
I can't tell if that's a joke or not, because I certainly would expect to find some weirdos in...
You're going to find a ton of weirdos. Know. The joke is that they're not having sex.
Well, they're not having sex with adults.
Oh, boy. Anyway, Banana Man, this is going to be a Chan versus Ray and Gina episode, and I feel a little weird about it, but it makes sense to me. This first episode, let's just launch into it. And these episodes are very A to B to C, and we're out. Like, I really like the fact that they're not overly confusing. I know how that sounds.
Jesus Christ.
I like the fact that there is more depth than needs to be, but not so much that anything gets weirdly convoluted.
Don't agree
with that. It's a perfectly enjoyable cartoon show.
I do think that this is the perfect show that, like, you've had a busy day, you want to smoke a little bit of weed or do a gummy and just sit on your couch and, like, turn your brain off and chuckle occasionally. That is what this show is for.
That's what Parks and Rec is for.
No, Parks and Rec is like
Parks and Rec.
Eventually, like it's trying to make you feel bad about not doing more for your civic duty. This is how you can tell that Chan is not cool and doesn't do drugs. He's like, oh, watch a show that guilt trips you into doing your civic duty and volunteering for your government.
I think the fact that you are threatened by the very notion of that.
No, listen, I love Parks and Rec. It's not what I'm going to choose to watch if I have absolutely nothing to do tomorrow and I just want to smoke a little bit of weed and watch it. Like, cartoons are what you do when you smoke weed.
Uh-huh. I mean, look, I very infamously do not do any of those substances.
You don't need to. Your brain is already there.
Well, thank you. Look, my late night one is Lupin the Third on Tubi because it's phenomenal. Because what better way to unwind than the casual misogyny and racism of the 1970s in Japan?
Mm-hmm. Cool. This explains a lot.
There's a lot of it, unfortunately.
Not overt.
They're not really thinking about that stuff back then. Guys, the 70s was also a different time.
Is there a game? I guess it's called Mr. Baker. Unclear, but
It's called Happy Families. It's a spinoff of Old Maid, it would appear to be, and some sort of Go Fish game where they're asking for family members on these cards to build a happy family.
Do you know that, or did you just...
I got that from watching this episode. I know games, and so it was basically some sort of a Go Fish, Old Maid sort of a thing they were doing, but then they referred to the game as Happy Families, which I thought was interesting.
It is a legit game. It is a traditional British card game that is...
Is that right?
Essentially similar to... Go Fish. I don't understand the bit where you're talking about gobstoppers, though.
Well, first of all, this first episode is called Banana Man Meets Dr. Gloom.
That's right.
4-minute episodes. We need to have some structure to this.
Do we? Like, it's only this. These shows are only structured because there's not enough time to not have a structure. There's just like an in. Barely a middle and then an out.
Again, these would make perfect interstitials in between Adult Swim shows. Like, if, like, after watching Space Ghost Coast to Coast, you get a 4-minute Banana Man episode, like, that's the perfect pairing for something like this.
Oh, 100%. I feel like Creepy Puppets is really the way to go if you're looking for like a 4-minute interstitial. Just like take 4 minutes out of like Great Space Coaster or something and just jam it in there. This is not pleasant.
Remember when Adult Swim aired Too Many Cooks?
Watch it like once a year because I love it so too. Much.
It's, yeah. I mean, you talk, it's not necessarily disturbing puppets, but it's not disturbing
there is,
puppets.
I mean, there is one disturbing puppet. Smarf is in there.
Smarf. God, you know what? We should all just watch that again. It's pretty phenomenal.
Next week.
And I believe we got put in touch with, I believe he's a fan of this show. Was he, I don't know if he's still with us. I mean, I hope he's still with us, but I don't know if he's still a fan. I can't remember if it was this show or Who Would Win, where the creepy old guy from Too Many Cooks, we were trying to get him booked on one of the shows. And now all of a sudden I realized that like somebody didn't answer somebody because it never happened.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't this show.
Yeah, I would have remembered that.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you're listening, guy from Too Many Cooks, hit us up.
Who we just called creepy and old.
No, but look, the character is creepy. I'm sure the actor is delightful, but delightful people play creepy people, Gina. I play a creeper in my own vampire show. I mean, bad example, but I mean, it does happen. Anthony Hopkins is a delightful human being by all accounts.
The guy's name is William Tokarski.
There you go. Oh. William, if you are listening to my voice, find us on the social medias, ideally Threads at AlmightyRay316, or perhaps anywhere else. We did it once before. Let's do this again. Let's get you on. We could talk about Danger Mouse together. Isn't that what you want to do? Isn't that where life brought you?
Can so you Eric is me on this show.
What's up?
Can he replace me on this show?
Chan, no. You're irreplaceable, sadly. The only replaceable person on the show is me, and that's depressing.
There's never been a truer statement spoken.
Anyway, is there a... Now, I ought to ask this question, because I watched the Banana Man transformation, like, what? Like a dozen times while watching this?
Yeah, because it's in the opening, and then he does it like at least once per episode.
At least once. So I asked the question, does this trigger any body horror stuff for you guys like it does for me?
I will say I hate the fact that like his upper body transforms first, so that like his upper body is too big for his like little legs, and then it goes. I did not like it.
Then his torso drops to the ground and then raises to reveal banana footwear.
I mean, this is very Popeye.
Like, yeah, exactly.
You know what? Popeye's transformation. But it also reminds me a little bit too much of like Tetsuo the Iron Man, and I don't care for that very much.
Why those are horns. Like those aren't banana ears. Those are banana horns.
They're like the horns. Ears on a cowl, on Batman's cowl.
Yeah. No, because those go point up, but when they curve in that direction, that is a devil.
No, they're bananas. That's why they're curving a little bit.
That is a yellow devil, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
We probably don't have to, because, you know, at a certain point, you let the uncle at Thanksgiving go. Gina is 100% right about this, Chan. I don't even understand what you are arguing here.
I don't. That's.
I'm just saying, I saw it on TikTok that them Venezuelan gangs is taking over Aurora.
Have you seen a picture of the devil? Any picture of the devil? Have you purchased those, that little headband with the little horns you get for like a cheap Halloween gift when you're like too lazy to go out and get a real gift?
Wow. Wow. Shots fired at Halloween decorations, everybody.
These are devil horns.
These are not devil. Look, is there a passing similarity to Daredevil where those are very definitely devil horns on Daredevil? Yes.
No, they're not. Those are goat horns because they are in the front of his head, not the side. These are coming out the side. They're devil horns.
This is outrageous. At worst, they're Viking horns, but they're also not, because they're right where Batman's pointy tips are.
Right, and Batman's pointy tips point up. They don't point to curve like
that. Because they're not bananas.
Yeah,
we need to move on from this, or we'll be here for an hour.
I'm going to be here for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I refuse. No. This is a 4-minute episode. We're not even into it yet.
I mean, look. Also, I like the fact that Banana Man swims through the air as his flight method.
I also like it.
I find it delightful.
He changes it up because this first time he's not swimming. He's actually running in the air.
I enjoy. Here's the thing. If you had the power of flight, wouldn't you want to try different things? This is real to me.
100%. 100%. This is full on Rin Gina versus Chan today.
Here's the thing. It's always going to look dumb. No matter what you do, if you're just like holding your arms out, you're like, what are you doing, man? Are you sleeping or something? What? That's dumb. And if you like, I don't know, do the backstroke, you're like, give it up. Don't be a jack off.
Little kid, are you telling me that if Egon could all of a sudden fly, you don't think he'd start flapping his arms like a bird and pretend to swim?
Gina, if you're going to start taking cues from a six-year-old, my six-year-old in particular, you are going to be wildly disappointed.
I'm saying this is a little kid with superpowers. He is a little kid who transforms into Banana Man. That's why he's having fun with it.
He is at least a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, arguably. Honestly, he's within 2 years of his babysitter, so that does not speak well of his own personal inclinations, that he can't be trusted at that age.
I mean, yeah. Everyone is correct here. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm just going to move forward that we have some villains. Villains, everybody. We have General Blight, who is the main antagonist of Banana Man. He seems behind a lot of the plots, either directly or indirectly. And we meet Dr. Gloom. And I just want to say right out the gate, I'm getting the vibe from reading this Wikipedia page. I don't quite have all the information, but it sure as heck seems that the voice acting is kind of the crew they got together are all from like a sketch comedy group together. Which is the vibe from reading the Wikipedia here. That's sort of what I'm getting. And I want to say, I flat out loved the voice acting on this show. Everything is dramatically understated. It's very British, and the character choices are very funny.
Yeah, I do like the Britishness of it. Also, Dr. Gloom and General Blight seem modeled on characters you would see in like The Greatest American Hero or Laugh-In. It's very Laugh-In-y. They are modeled clearly after like a Colonel Klink type.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And
60s sitcom is what they're going for here.
Yes.
And they nail it.
Yes, so they do. Great.
They 100% nail it. Yeah.
I guess.
According to the plot of this episode, the world will end at midnight unless Banana Man talks to Gloom, which means that the late night movie will be canceled because the world is ending. And that's what really is a call to action. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's also very good.
Also very real for a kid to be upset about the late night movie getting canceled.
Yeah. A kid can't comprehend it. The world ending. Sorry,
Chan. What are they doing awake?
Chan, your kid interrupts our podcasting well past his bedtime every week.
And he should be asleep, and it infuriates me every single time.
Yeah, but to be fair, when I was Banana Man's age, I was staying up till 1 in the morning constantly and going to school the next day.
Well, that explains a lot.
No, I stayed up to watch the Johnny Carson first half hour of The Tonight Show every day I possibly could. If I didn't crash out, I would be at minimum up till midnight so I could watch The Tonight Show. 100% true. I love those bits. I love the monologue. I was destined to do this. And by this, I mean be on a podcast with the two of you. It turns out staying up till midnight all throughout middle school and high school will keep you mediocre.
That seems about right.
Just fail upwards, my friends. The point I'm trying to say here is I love the fact that the TV news show just totally breaks the fourth wall. People are coming out of the screen. People are interacting with the viewers through the screen. Amazing. Just very fun. At this point, Banana Man smashes into the castle, and the backgrounds look like they came straight out of Don Bluth's Dragon's Lair. No joke. Look at it side by side, the castle scene from Dragon's Lair and this scene here. And there's at least an aping going on, if not much more.
I mean, they're not aping it because Dragon's Lair came out same time after it. Like they're contemporaries, but they wouldn't have been and influence, they're all pulling from the same stuff, which is like 40s horror films.
You know what? That's fair. Both came out in 1983. So I suppose that they are, you're right. They're all, but the look is unmistakable in my mind. That's fair.
Then there's the Crow sidekick, which...
Yeah, this is a Heckle and Jekyll, very Heckle and Jekyll.
Yeah, which I don't, we probably don't need to go too far down that road.
It's a very famous old, you know, comic.
Yeah, he's a magpie, and the most famous magpies were Heckle and Jekyll from the 40s, and this guy is very Heckle and Jekyll coded.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we definitely want cartoon characters who are black coded from the 40s. That's always a good idea.
He's not doing any type of voice, yeah. First of all. I mean,
he's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, we don't need to go any further. We just acknowledge that it's there and hope that we don't watch a few more episodes and find him all of a sudden eating watermelon.
I don't think there's any concern of that whatsoever, mainly because this is from England.
Yeah.
Where famously there's no racism.
No, but their era of civil rights and then the media that came out of that entire mess that this country did, keep it real. I mean, I don't think that I need to say keep it real because we all know it was a mess. What am I talking about? The point I'm trying.
Different. It is different.
It's there. They didn't have a civil rights era because they didn't have a lot of the problems that we manufactured in this country. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes, there are still problems with racism in the world, obviously, but it's different than how the fact that the white people in charge of Hollywood had, had people doing blackface in movies and whatnot. Because of the deeper institutionalized racism that was going on here. Is that fair? Is that a fair statement?
I feel like the longer you talk, the more likely it is you're going to say something really, really bad.
That's why I'm trying to get off the hook from this topic. Yeah. No one is helping me.
We could just listen to Chan when he says, let's acknowledge it and move on.
We're a half hour in and we're still on the first 4-minute episode.
Yeah,
please,
but we,
please,
once we get going,
love of God,
Gina, once we get to the point of the episode where you decide to go do something else, it generally speeds up a lot.
Once Gina checks out, it's much smoother.
Listen, I wouldn't have to check out if you two would fucking keep on task.
I do. Please, this is all I do on this show. Anyway, yes, he gets hit. Banana Man gets hit with a giant hammer because he's a big doofus. And he gets put on the table for treatment by Dr. Gloom. Crow is here, says I'm going to help bail you out later, but let's see how this plays out. I like this Crow a lot. I really like him as a sidekick who gets involved only when he feels like it.
Yeah, so I don't really know what his purpose is, to be honest. I'm a little bit confused
the problem
about who he is and why he's there.
With these really short episodes is that we can't really establish any sort of relationships. There's just like, there's the chief of police. That's what he does. There's a bad guy.
That's what you want if you're getting stoned. You don't want to have to keep track of who's who in a relationship. You just want a bird to show up and talk to a man.
You know what? Yeah, fair.
I need to know why that bird is there, why he's helping him, but not helping him too much. Just like making snarky asides. Like, yeah. Is he trying to help? Is he just adding a little comic levity? Like, is he there to, I don't know, raise awareness for Crow civil rights? It's confusing.
Here's Chan coming in with, I want to know whose butt it is and why is it farting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I don't. He's a sassy crow. He shows up in one out of every 2 to 3 episodes. I think he's there when Banana Man is sort of on his own and needs somebody to kind of play off of. And there's no one else there that he can play off of. That's why he also went to space with him. Right.
Mm-hmm,
And yes, he'll help out as he can. He is a crow. But anyway, Banana Man gets hit with a ray gun. It looks like kind of a plasma pistol, sort of from Fallout. It's wonderful. And he gets de-aged, turned into a baby, at which point Dr. Gloom takes a photograph of Banana Man as a baby and sends it to the local news, where they just uncritically run it and say, if this picture is to be believed, Banana Man has been defeated, for now he is a baby.
Listen, the British press is notorious for running with whatever story they get. So I'm saying, I believe this.
In this election season, what's different here?
This feels like something he would be arrested for in 2024. not turning someone into a baby, but taking pictures and posting them.
Yeah.
That's not responsible.
They would find them on his laptop several years later.
Yep. I was just doing research.
God. The very funny, the twist in the whole thing is because now that Banana Man has been turned into a baby, Dr. Gloom is forced by society, I suppose, to raise Banana Man as his own child, and he is not prepared to be a father or raise or, you know, deal with a baby. So he is losing his mind. And finally, he's like, I don't know what to do. The baby is crying. The baby is screaming. This is, parenthood is awful. I mean, oh, I'm sorry. In the cartoon, he would imagine parenthood is awful. And the crow steps in to help. And he says, how about, you know, give the kid a banana? The kid will calm down. And he's like, I will literally try anything under the sun to make this baby stop crying. Very relatable, Dr. Mm-hmm. Gloom. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Banana Man eats the banana as a baby, turns into regular old Banana Man again, pulls a mirror off the wall, reflects the age de-ager, and turns Dr. Blight or Dr. Gloom into a baby, and then drops him off at General Blight's house and says, hey, now you got to raise this baby, sucker.
I mean, kudos to them for not just abandoning children. I guess in Great Britain, that's just the thing that you do. We know that that's what they do because we've all seen Paddington.
Yeah, and Oliver Twist.
Documentary Paddington and Paddington mm-hmm, 2. Mm-hmm.
If Paddington had met Fagin, he would have been the best thief in the entire UK.
Did you play Fagin in your middle school production of Oliver?
I fucking should have, Robert Clark Chan. What bullshit casting.
Mm-hmm. I played Old Sally in my high school production of Oliver.
You know what I played in? You know what I played in my high school production of Oliver? My senior effing year, the year I'm supposed to be getting stuff.
No,
Fagin lined up for me. I played one of the Bow Street Runners. I played one of the Keystone Cops at the very end of the show.
The roles should go to who's best, not based on seniority. That's insane.
I was also the best.
Yeah, whoa. Right.
Here's Gina.
That's what everyone says.
Everything's a meritocracy because I get everything that I want.
So no, clearly, I didn't get I was a terrible singer, so I always got the comedy roles, and that was I never got like main roles or anything because I couldn't really sing until Fiddler on the Roof when I was Yenta the Matchmaker, because she's just sort of shout yelling when she sings.
It's really upsetting me now that Gina Ippolito got better roles in high school than I did.
I am a better human than you are at everything. No, so why is that upsetting?
That's not arguable, but I would argue I wanted it more.
Yeah, that all sounds about right.
I guarantee you I worked harder than you.
Worked harder, absolutely. And still today.
Yes.
That's the end. Oh, and then finally, Banana Man leans on his own Banana Man sign at the end. That's like three cheers for Banana Man or whatever. Like, is that just out in front of a storefront and he's just sort of like leaning on it? You know, it's a little weird. Anyway.
No. We gotta talk about this.
And where have you been?
Out saving the world.
I love it. Shit babysitter. Literally, her only job is to sit around, lock eyes with the kid, and play what I assume to be some form of British strip poker for 3 hours.
It's Chan. England. He nothing disappears. Bad is going to happen to him. The worst that's going to happen to him is he gets sucked into Narnia.
then why are the parents paying for her services?
Shane, I've got your answer right here. And this is really going to fall in line. You're going to understand it completely. What is the job of a police officer? Is it to help people and protect them, or is it to guard property?
So you're saying that she's just a security guard for their shit?
I'm saying that the child at this age was a latchkey kid going wherever he wanted to. Her job was to make sure nothing happened to the house.
She probably thought he was in his room playing with Tinker Toys and Jax, and she was eating too many Dunkaroos.
I don't think they have Dunkaroos in the UK.
What? I'm canceling my trip.
There are so many wonderful things there that can replace Dunkaroos.
You know what you're saying, Chan. I know what you're saying, and Gina knows what you're saying, but I don't think Gina wants us to talk about that on the air.
Oh, we're not going to talk about Bangers and Mash?
Thank you. Gina, what is your opinion of Bangers and Mash?
I don't know. I don't know what the subtext is here. I'm looking at Mudang memes because you guys refuse to move on.
There it is. There it is. We can speed things up now.
That is the end of episode 1 of 5, but I guarantee this will be the we are not doing this episode for 2.5 hours. We might be doing this episode for 2.5 hours. I told you Chan picked too many episodes.
I picked.
No, it's that you don't know how to keep things on the fucking rails.
Do you know how impossible it is to keep things on the rails with the two of you in here?
No, here's how you do it. The next episode, it's called The Big Breakout. I wrote that this would make fun interstitials. That's it. They break out of jail.
That's it.
Criminals break out of jail and Banana Man has to put him back in jail. The end.
Episode 3, everybody. That is not enough content. Listen, there's a prison. Our prison boss is Eddie the Gent, who I kind of remember this dude, who is a noble mobster, a friendly mobster, and he gets given a fake cake that has a bunch of like files and stuff inside. Very fun bit. He is the leader of the heavy mob, and he's decided they're going to break out, and they do so many old school vaudevillian bits throughout this. Where, you know, you pass it on to the person to your right, pass it to the person to your right, then there's nobody there, so he turns and starts telling the person on his left. Delightful. Delightful stuff. Their big plan is to dig a tunnel because they are legendary diggers.
I see what you're trying to do there. You're trying to bait me, and I'm not going to fall for it.
That's what they said on the show, Chan. Why would that be baiting you?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to acknowledge it. And we're going to move on.
I think that's our lesson with Banana Man. Just acknowledge it and then move forward. Then we find out there's another supervillain called The Mole. And The Mole has Operation Big Breakout. Great name. He has a giant, like we've seen this thing a million times, the drilling underground drilling machine. It's like a giant boxing machine with a giant drill in the front. And it goes. Now, through a lot of this, it seems like the tunnel's already pre-dug. So he doesn't really need the drilling machine.
He's already done it. He's just chilling in his tunnels.
Yeah, so why does he still need the driller machine? I would think like a Jeep or something might be faster.
Yeah, but like who needs a fucking Cybertruck? Who needs a Hummer? You don't need those things, but you want to show off to all your little mole friends, right?
So you're telling me only mole people drive Cybertrucks?
I'm saying mole people wish they could drive Cybertrucks. Or Cybertruck people. Cybertruck drivers wish they were as cool as mole people.
So I'll ask the next question. Do you think this episode of Banana Man inspired the Boring Company's Tesla tunnels under Las Vegas?
Wait, isn't there only just one mole person in this episode?
Yes.
Don't be calling them mole people. It's just one mole man.
No, but there are mole people in the world.
Yeah, but this we're only seeing one guy. Don't diminish his digging accomplishments by making it seem like he's part of a group.
I feel like Andrew Tate is a mole man. can you confirm or deny this, Gina?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
That's fair. I hear he likes to call people diggers, and that's...
I'm uncomfortable now.
in a real with a hard R, which is, I think, the worst part of it.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm going to instead read tweets about rapists.
just to clear my palate, you know.
It's trending for some reason.
Oh, my God.
I love this line just because it is the most British line ever in the history of everything.
Just rehearsing the Christmas panto, Governor.
Just rehearsing for the Christmas panto, Governor.
Yeah, because how would you not like this, Jan?
They are going through the prison courtyard and the spotlight hits them, and then so they just start dancing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then when he jumps into the hole that was dug by the mole man, how does he close it? By zipping it up.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
is tune delightfulness happening mm-hmm. right in front mm-hmm. of you. And Chan goes, "This makes me upset. I'm so sour."
It's 1983, for God's sakes. Get with the times.
Yeah, it's 1983, so you know what we're not allowed to say on television? Anything we say on this show. So he refers to flipping heck, ladies and gentlemen. And I was like, whoa.
Honestly, I feel like that's practically swearing in Great Britain in 1983.
I think you'd be still arrested for that, I think. Mm-hmm. I do also like the bit. It's you know, there are a lot of bits that kind of run throughout this, and that's that, who is like the police chief of the city, calls Eric to get Banana Man to go places, and every single time he says, I'll be there. I mean, he'll be there right away. And I like that this is never discussed further anywhere. The police chief 100% knows that Eric is Banana Man, but does this dance, plays this game to make him more comfortable.
This is in keeping with like everything else. Like when you know, when they used to say to Clark Kent, like, do you think you could get your friend Superman on the phone? This is a very superhero thing that they always do. Like, oh, Peter Parker, how does he always get such good shots of Spider-Man, his buddy Spider-Man?
This, okay, here's the core of my problem. This is a parody of the superhero genre way too early for there to be enough material for a parody. Like, where it's so surface that it's basically doing like, let's make fun of like 40s Superman cartoons. Like now, if you do one, then you have a lot to pull from. You've got all your MCU stuff and all the DC stuff. You've got a ton of animated properties and even comic books to a certain extent have penetrated the mainstream enough that people, you know, kind of know some of these tropes. But in 1983, you're like, oh yeah, all superheroes are dudes with huge biceps and they fly, and they're bad guys drive drill trucks. That's it. That's all we got. And trying to stretch it out even over fucking 4 minutes, it's getting pretty thin.
Yes.
Next episode's called Ice Station Zero.
Well, wait a minute. No, we got to go underground still, because we have the audio banana phone. We've got he uses his legs like a jackhammer to go. I'm already like watching this episode and I'm like, we got to get Banana Man on the Who Would Win show. This dude's got, he's got pulls. This guy's got powers you could pull from to have a very compelling episode.
What the fuck is this?
Even steel walls are no match for my helium-boosted thermal finger.
Yeah, weirdly enough, in the rock tunnel, a steel wall closes off the tunnel, and he uses his thermal finger to burn his way through the wall. This guy's pretty next level, this Banana Man. And then, even wilder, the Mole Man drops a stoplight from the ceiling to stop Banana Man in his tracks, shoots a cannonball at him, which Banana Man catches and throws, which smashes the gyro stabilizer out of the machine. It makes it go out of control, plunging Mole Man towards the core of the earth. And all Mole Man can do on his way down is many shots of him sticking his tongue out while he goes under.
Blah, 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 blah. He holds the criminals at gunpoint
with a banana gun.
at gunpoint, this dude who has enormous muscles can fly, can catch a cannonball, probably a 2,000-pound cannonball, and just fling it right back. And he's holding them with a gun.
Yes.
And now, could you? They're like, what if we split up and run away? It's like, don't try it, or I'll fucking shoot you in the back.
We got it.
We all get lazy sometimes. We all get lazy sometimes, Chan.
You do what works, Chan.
Not like Baltimore police lazy, for fuck's sake. Not like, oh, he's black. Clearly, I have to shoot him.
He's probably just going to shoot them in the legs, which everyone has done at some point.
He's not aiming at their legs. He is straight up aiming right between their eyes.
Yeah, like, you know, you're in Romania at your castle mansion, and you're trying to do some sex trafficking.
This and they're is something trying that to, Gina knows a lot about.
Cause... They're trying to escape and get you in trouble with the law. And so you got to shoot him in the leg, Gina. We've all been there. I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gina is a well-known user and defender of these practices.
Listen, clearly. I'm not when cops do it, but when cool guys in mob movies shoot people in the kneecaps.
It was shocking as I'm watching this episode. My jaw hits the ground as we're having light fun. And then it ends with a threat of murder. Like, he straight up is like, I do not care about anything. I will flat out murder you in this tunnel right now if you start acting up.
Like, this is legit weird. Like, I'm not even screwing around. Like, the idea that the superhero who has all these powers and can do all these things is holding them at gunpoint. And it's a banana, but, like, what is he joking? That he's going to shoot a banana that's just a banana? Is he using his intelligence and convincing them that he is going to hurt them with this banana that isn't actually a threat? But of course, there is the threat of grievous bodily harm because he's fucking super strong banana man. What is happening here?
The big thing with all of it I want to say is these mobsters know better than to try him.
they do. They say do. That, what if we run away? And he's like, don't. And then they go, okay. And they don't. And we're like, why did you even bother putting that line in there about wanting to get away?
Maybe they're severely limiting their sugar content and they know that they'll be tempted if he throws that banana at them.
So you're saying they're diabetic?
Yes, yes. And
they're just trying to get out to get their insulin that the crooked warden isn't giving them.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
These guys are heroes.
Yeah.
And we return with a crowd immediately gathers to praise Banana Man. I don't know how the word got out so quickly, but they take to the streets with signage to say how excited they are that Banana Man has caught the escaped convicts before they've left. But of course, Eric can't, you know, he can't be around it. So he sort of slinks back to his alter ego and lets them run on by. They wonder, where'd he go? Where is Banana Man? Doesn't he care for us? And I do. Look, Chan hates it. Gene, I need your opinion on this. I love that every single episode just ends with Eric mugging for the camera, being like, "Little boy, another day." Like, you it's say, just wonderful.
You say mugging. I say those are the eyes of a serial killer. He friggin' lizard bug eyes out, stares right at the camera.
I do. Honestly, I love the strange animation. I feel like a lot of animation of this era was either too cutesy, too polished, or like all sort of look the same. Like the gummy bears and the Smurfs all sort of look the same. This is like just unsettling enough that like you could be watching this again, stoned, I assume, and be like, man, that kid has seen some shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's played cutesy, but there is something deeply sinister happening in this show.
I mean, I think my favorite thing about it is how British it is. It's not polished, it's not cute. It's like a strange animation style. I think the more you watch it, the more you like it, because we're coming up on Oh, no. No. After Ice Station Zero, The Alien Planet was my favorite episode, and it's by far the weirdest one.
It's by far the weirdest one. Well, we have Ice Station Zero next, but before we do, we'll be right back. I mean, maybe.
Probably not.
I'm going to kill you both with a banana gun, so I'm behind both of you right now with a banana gun, so you're not coming back.
Well, seriously, Gino, could you imagine fucking Superman, like, pulling a gun?
I mean, not to wade into this whole debate, but that was what people did not like about, you know, the Snyder movies, is that they were like, wait a minute, is Superman killing a bunch of people?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the whole discourse online, and then Snyder Bros were like, fuck you guys, don't ever question my Lord and Savior.
A literal movie about, you know, movie chain involving two characters who famously do not kill in their best incarnations, just ripping people to death in the first movie. We don't even really build to it. And then there's no thought about it afterwards. Oh, Zack Snyder.
I haven't seen them. Are they?
What?
Are they worth watching? Are they good?
What are you doing with your time?
Anything but watching Zack Snyder films, honestly.
Are they worth watching? You don't have to. It's getting rebooted again anyway.
I mean, but watch them the next time you do your DC universe in chronological order.
No one does that. Literally,
yeah,
no one has ever
done that. Everyone does
that.
You start with Wonder Woman because timing-wise, that is the earliest.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds dreadful.
I
couldn't even get through
it.
Aquaman.
I enjoyed it.
Did you work in the TV shows too?
No, because they're not, unlike the MCU, they're not tied in.
Peacemaker wasn't tied in?
Well, by the time Peacemaker happened, but like I was at the time doing an Arrow rewatch and
the CW shows,
and DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
All right, fair. And the Titans.
But those are standalones. Like they
affect each other, but not the movies.
The Berlanti verse is a whole different piece.
Right, exactly. It's not like WandaVision. Those were separate. When I did this DCU watch, Peacemaker had not yet come out.
That sounds like you're atoning for something. That's what it sounds like to me.
I found it delightful. I watched both the Whedon cut and the Snyder cut back to back.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
What? It's because I'm better than you guys.
That's unhealthy.
No.
That's like pooping five times a day.
Listen,
yeah, that's not,
first
yeah.
of all,
not what's supposed to happen with
first
your body.
Of all, do you know how many jobs I got after I did that? Because I got hired by G4 to write a series of jokes about the Snyder cut. I also got hired by new rock stars to do breakdowns on the exact type of thing. So
you got all those jobs from pooping a lot? My God, no wonder I never made it into Hollywood.
Yeah.
I just do not understand the industry.
They don't call back for a reason.
It's because they know you're all backed up and no one wants to work with someone who's backed up.
That's fair.
You know what I say? I might be backed up, but I've got your back. And then they don't call back.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Space pirates are out of this world. Tony's space pirates mean oceans of fun with their amazing magnetic power. There's just so much you can do. First, stow the cargo ready for the high seas. Watch out, repeat! Fire the cannon! Shiver me timbers! Send out the search party! Where to next, Captain? Tomy's space pirates give wings to the imagination. Wherever will your adventures take you next? Space pirates, trust Tomy.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Let's talk about Ice Station Zero. There's an aviator evil guy on the news. His name is the Weatherman. He's created an ice storm and frozen Fiona, the broadcast lady, and then smashed her like the end of Demolition Man. Am I, what is happening with that? She clearly breaks.
I that is a good question. She freezes 100% and then
falls,
going frame by frame. She does fall. I don't think there's any crashing, shattering sound. So
no, her ankles are probably frozen together and she fell over.
I'm saying right now.
What you thought, she just bleeds out. All right, here we go. Oh boy.
There's no crashing sound, Chad.
That's glass breaking. She is dead as fuck. Wow.
That's dark. I like it. I had no idea.
I mean, I'm just saying, does she come back again after this? I don't know that she does. Now that I think about it, she does not come back, at least what we saw after this.
I hope that we just see hunks of defrosted meat later on that are her thawed out chunks.
This is what I'm saying. There is something sinister in this show, and it's cutesy fun for kids. And then like you're like, oh, okay. Banana Man has a crystal direction finder. And he eats a banana, of course, to become Banana Man. And he flies to the crystal, I suppose. He bounces ice stones off of his body, and he goes to the Battleship of the Skies, a great name for a boring-ass Zeppelin.
I mean, if you have a Zeppelin, you're really going to want to give it a name, because the other people are just going to call it the Hindenburg.
Can't have that.
It's funny, six times, and then the seventh time, you're just like,
can you name another Zeppelin, please? And then you realize the only other Zeppelin they know is the lead one.
Lead, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. So,
I just heard a kid.
I don't know. I think there's a very, very real chance that Gina's cats are coming in for food and they've learned to talk. 50-50 in my mind.
I will say that one of them is running around now with a feather with a bell attached to it, trying to get me to play. So you guys got about another 15 minutes of this and then I'm checked out.
Hey, that's more than we usually get, to be fair. So this is great. I love the fact that Banana Man knocks on the door of the Zeppelin with a milkman outfit on, and then dude answers the door, and he's like, I've got your milk. And he goes, oh, please, come in. And then as soon as he comes, he goes, I wasn't fooled. I know you're Banana Man. And something about that I found to be so delightful, I can't really even explain it. Chan, how about you? Good bit, right?
Did not care for it.
And the callback's even funnier. I do not care. Banana Man hits him with a banana cream pie, which does no damage.
A custard banana Man, pie.
Excuse me, banana custard pie. Banana Man gets himself frozen in a block of ice because this dude's the weatherman. And immediately, and again, this is a parody of old-timey superhero stuff. The millisecond that Banana Man is trapped in ice, the weatherman turns and goes, now I will tell you every single detail of the entirety of my evil scheme. And it's so complicated. I could not follow it. And I think that was intentional because it was so complicated and convoluted. There was like 5 or 6 steps to it. None of it seemed to relate. None of it made sense. And when he was done explaining it, I just sat back and I went, that was awesome. I felt like I was watching Daniel Bryan versus MJF to headline a pay-per-view.
Did you watch that?
In a theater sitting right next to you.
Okay. There you go.
We should really have me on your wrestling show to talk about it, Chan. It's probably still topical.
Doesn't seem like a thing that we would do.
No, I mean, probably not. Well, Banana Man gets dropped from the ship, but he's wearing his electronic thermal underwear and melts the ice.
What?
And then he lands... You know, the Arctic. And then he lands next to the ice station, the Ice Station Zero.
He farts to land, by the way.
Kind of great.
Bananas
make you gassing.
Why?
To slow it and also to warm himself and to warm the planet. It's lots of reasons.
Yeah. Banana Man's the reason we have global warming. Thank you.
A quick burst of heat. A little reverse thrust to slow his descent.
Yeah, I know.
It's fantastic.
If someone called, if you're like, oh, that's just a little thrust to slow my descent.
Yeah, then you got to fall, though, every single time you fart. And I don't know if that's worth it at the end of the day.
Mm.
I mean, I could do it. So he knocks on the door of the ice station, and this Frosty the Snowman robot answers the door, and he says, I'm from the Arctic Electricity Board here to check out your power supply. I love it. It's so ridiculous. And he gets let in again and says, I wasn't fooled. And then the Frosty robot hits him with a corncob heat ray that has no effect on him. No effect on him whatsoever.
Why would a snowman have a heat ray?
Look, it's a robot snowman. I mean, and it's thematic.
It looks like he's like wearing a suit because you can see like armholes. So I was like, is this a guy? Is this a bad guy in a snowman suit? But then he's actually melts him. I was a little confused on the science behind it.
That was weird. Chan, can you explain, as a science jerk, can you explain the science behind this episode?
Yeah, it sucks.
So Banana Man has the heat and the cold tubes. He doesn't know exactly what to do, so he just ties all the tubes together, which, you know, basically is also a coincidentally, here we are 40 years later, that's the Republican healthcare plan. Thanks, everybody. Good night. I'm here all week. Thank you. And much like that healthcare plan, everything is broken afterwards. Banana Man wins yet again. And my note right here is, after three episodes, this is very easy and comfortable to watch.
Mm-hmm. And then we get my favorite episode, The Alien Planet, which is so weird and so fun.
Can we hear the distress call? I wrote a note here to listen to the distress call, and I don't remember exactly why.
Oh, yes. I also wrote this. I wrote distress, distress. This is funny.
Yes.
He heard a faint cry of distress.
Oh, distress. Distress. Oh, save me.
It's funny. It's funny. It's
fantastic. He's walking down the streets and he hears that and he's like, oh, it's a distress call. I got to go get it. Transforms into Banana Man, of course. The crow is back. We've got the crow back for this one. It's basically like a tower. And the damsel in distress call is actually a video playing on a 13-inch television, which then switches to General Blight, who pulls an Ozymandias from Watchmen. Speaking of Zack Snyder.
Did you just say Ozymandias?
Yeah,
Ozymandias. That's his.
Oh my God. Chan.
How do you pronounce it?
If you read it and went with Ozymandias, that's fine. You've seen the movie.
Ozymandias.
So you know how it's pronounced.
Yeah, well, I don't.
How am I saying it wrong?
You've seen the television show afterwards, so you know how it's pronounced.
Well, how do you tell me? You tell me how to say it. You won't even do it because I'm right.
I don't. Do you pay attention to anything you ever watch ever, or do you just black it out?
That's why they call them Ozy for short.
You're like pronouncing it like Ozempic.
He's also very thin. I mean, it can't be missed.
All right. Now I'm starting to come on board.
Thank you. Thank you. So it turns out that Banana Man's now in space. Because while he was watching the show and General Blight was saying, because I did it 27 minutes ago, he's now, the tower's turned into a rocket ship and flown him. At first, I thought he said to planet Mercury. I could not make out what he said, but it was planet Nerx.
Nerx.
Yeah.
Nerx. Because there are aliens named the Nerx who are from the planet Nerx. And I do love that they try to overpower Banana Man. And he goes, I am terribly strong, don't you know? And they go, not in this gravity, mother effer. And then they just dominate him.
Yeah.
And I was rolling with joy.
I love this, but Mother Nerk is my favorite.
Mother, talk to me about Mother Nerk, Gina.
She's just a stereotypically British mother, but she's a Mother Nerk alien.
Yes, this is Mother Nerk. About time you came back, lads. I've made your tea and Zorg's waiting. Hang on, I'll beam you up.
Tea and Zorg's.
This is great because she's like a weird, hideous alien, but she's acting like the most British mother. This to me was the most Doctor Who-y episode of them all.
Yeah.
It was absolutely delightful. And so they all get beamed up to the mothership, and the aliens are working with General Blight to take over Earth. Now, I don't know if General Blight's necessarily on board with the plan. He just wants Banana Man out of the picture. But they say to Banana Man, you have to give us all the locations of all the military installations on your planet. Like, that's a thing that Eric/Banana Man would just know off the top of his head. Fan-flippin-tastic. But, of course, the aliens, like, well, why wouldn't you know that? You're Earth's mightiest hero. And because this episode is already running long, somehow... It's all the great mom bits that they put
Gina
in.
Gina already said she's checked out. Like, we got the moms from her, and then she's gone.
According to this, I just threw in a sentence about Mother Nurk. I did my duty.
No, Gina. Gina's on point here. As long as she keeps agreeing with me, she didn't got to say anything.
Gina has to do her duty like six more times.
Oh, my God. Like, seriously, Gina, it's like you're probably going to be asleep in a couple hours. Do you need to duke like three more times before that?
Dog, I go to bed at 10 o'clock on the dot.
That is outrageous. That is outrageous. How?
I am much more productive than you are, Ray.
No, no one's that. You keep saying that as if anybody's arguing with you about it. Gina, you have 13 jobs and 13 on the way. I can't even write the next episode of my darn vampire show because I can't find the time in my brain or schedule to even work it in.
Well, maybe you should consider going to bed at 10 o'clock on the dot.
How? It's just not an option.
No, you dick around more than I'm sure you would care to admit.
Oh, I would care to admit a lot of dicking around, and you're still right. Anyway, Banana Man says, hey, aliens, can I have a banana? They're like, have two. F it. Who cares? And he powers up. He just straight up just goes straight Popeye. And what I love is that he gets out of the spaceship. He slams the door on mom because he leaves the door open and she scolds him for leaving the door to the outside open. Fantastic. So he comes back and slams the door so hard the ship gets sent back to space.
I also especially like it. He's like, all right, now time to take this cannon back to Earth. And the cannon is a boot that comes out at the end of the cannon and kicks his butt back to Earth.
And it's the interplanetary reentry cannon and it's coin operated.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great British visual gag.
I mean, this has a very Bugs Bunny, Marvin the Martian kind of vibe to it, but it doesn't. It lacks the physical energy of it.
You hate British people, is what I'm hearing.
Vocal energy, like there's nothing propelling it. It's just sort of
that's what British TV is, Chan.
No, it's that, but with wit, and this doesn't have any wit. It is, as you're saying, just like standard, basic, kiddie, you know, television with a light smattering of vaudeville.
The thing: you hate everything, so your opinion means nothing.
Wow.
Well.
Because if you had a smattering of things that you liked, if it was 50-50. I would take this more seriously. Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Does this mean that Gina respects my opinion on things more than Chan?
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
I was worried for your sake for a second. Okay, good. The upshot of all of this episode is that Eric is late for school. And the teacher's like, why were you late for school? And he just mugs again to the camera, goes, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. That was British, right? Good British voice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, blimey, governor. You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Like, now,
that was worse somehow.
Those eyes are horrifying.
Yeah, that's why it's funny.
It is. It's very funny. Every single time he looks at the camera and just says the weakest shit on the planet, and that's the light pull. I'm enthralled. I am delighted every single time he does it. They're not trying, and it's fantastic. Nothing more to add about that. Let's go to the last one. The Kidnap Caper. And I wrote here, this is the last one. And I was a little bit sad. Can I say that? I would potentially go and watch this whole hour-long video.
I'm not going to lie. This was one too many. I wish we had ended on the aliens.
I don't even remember what happened.
I know one. That's the same. I also can't remember what happened because aliens was so strong that I was mentally wiped by this point.
That's not why I can't remember, but we are on largely the same page here.
This is maybe the wildest one. General Blight's the villain again, and he's threatened to, he kidnaps a guy who's just straight MacGuffin. I still don't exactly know what this guy's role is. He's just an important man, and he has tied him to the railroad tracks and said, if this guy gets hit by the train, then everyone gets more homework. And I'm like, all right. There's a very funny bit that I approve of where he says, blistering banana skins. And they say, you could say that again. So he starts to, and they go, no, we actually don't want that. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Now, I appreciate the fact that the police chief calls Banana Man. The police chief has every single piece of information about this case. He says, this is the laziest police crew since literally every police crew that I've ever seen. He says, okay, there's a guy, and he's on the tracks, and he's tied to the tracks, and we know exactly where he is. And there's a train headed to him. Would you also know that the engineer has also tied up and he is cannot control the train, and the train is hurtling to kill this guy. This guy, General Blight, wants billions of dollars of ransom, and we have it here in a bag in my office. Literally, they do not need Banana Man in any way, shape, or form. Their police work has gotten them more information than should be acceptable, quite honestly. And he's still calling Banana Man to say, I need you to fly here. I need you to get the bag. Go and work out this hostage situation. What are the people of this town even paying for the police for at this point? Besides, you know, the racism and the shooting dogs. I mean, obviously.
No, I think you about covered it.
Okay, great. No. I was worried there was a third one I missed, but excellent. Okay, great. So, another funny bit. Banana Man shows up. They actually do an aside saying, Mr. Grindle is just finished fixing the wall since Banana Man was last here. And then he smashes through the wall immediately, and I'm delighted. F you, Mr. Grindle.
Who the fuck is that? I thought that was where the kidnapping situation was going to go down, but no, it was just a gag they threw in that, like, he's flying to a place, he diverts himself just so he can blast through some walls and then go back to what he was doing.
Oh, Chan, he has to pick up the $1 billion sack of money.
Is that where the sack of money was?
Yeah, the police chief had it in his office, so he had to roll by the police station to get the sack of money. Geez, do you guys pay attention to anything in these cartoons?
I already said I zoned out after the aliens because that was the peak and I knew it couldn't beat it.
Pretty good. Well, Banana Man shows up at the tracks to talk to General Blight, and rather than just overpower the situation, which obviously he should have done, they make this joke later. General Blight says, I trust you and all, Banana Man, but before I give you the combination lock to the chains holding this man on the tracks, can you count all billions of dollars in this sack for me? And Banana Man does it and is creating drama through the counting. He finally gets through the entirety of it. The train is very, very close now. This bit is very funny to me. I don't give an F. He says, here's your combination, 6644. Get it. At which point Banana Man throws the sack of money at General Blight and ends up like pulling him inside the sack and hanging him from a pole next to the train tracks. Delightful. At this moment, he's having trouble with the combination because he doesn't remember it. Again, hilarious. This is Ash in Army of Darkness level stuff. Wonderful. And then I don't even remember who it was, but they're just like, Banana Man, you have the strength of 20 men. Correction, 20 big men. Very good bit. Why don't you just rip him off the train tracks? So he does, saving the day, but the train is still out of control. Banana Man throws a chain and pulls the train to a stop. at this moment, these useless ass police officers show up. And there's, much like in the real world, there's like 900 of them for one guy who's already been subdued.
Yep.
The only thing missing is that they don't show up in a tank. It's the only thing missing right now.
It's just off screen.
And once more, they take him away to jail. They take Blight away. And a crowd once more shows up. But Banana Man has turned back to Eric and run away.
Yeah, they almost trample him. Well, they do kind of trample him.
They do, but I mean, well, I guess he doesn't have super strength as not Banana Man. So this could have been perilous if not completely played up for laughs.
I wonder if Banana Man, in his Banana Man form, ate like 8,000 calories or something, like a really big meal, a meal too big for a little kid.
I'm listening.
And
yeah.
Then shrank back down to Eric, if it would just be coming out his butt.
I'm sorry. Is that why you poop 5 times a day?
You think that if you eat, then it would immediately pass through your digestive system and it would be available to poop just a couple minutes later?
I'm just saying, if he ate a lot of food and it was still being digested, and then he like shrank back down to a kid and it was too big a meal for him. I mean, you would think that his stomach would hurt at the very least. He would need to carry around some Pepto.
I mean, whatever extra dimensional pocket exists that puts the additional muscle mass, I feel like.
You're right. Wherever the muscles go, that's where the calories go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I'm glad we sorted this out scientifically.
And we finally agreed on something this entire episode. So.
I mean, I feel like we both made fun of Ray about his pronunciation of Ozymandias.
Wait, that's how you say it?
Ray, you there?
Nobody says it like that.
You saw the fucking movie and the fucking TV show and countless other TV shows that reference the poem that everything else is based on.
You know what? My English teacher pronounced it Ozymandias in high school, and that's probably why it stuck forever in my brain. Ozymandias, am I right?
No.
No, my goal is now to do a Banana Man send-off that Chan will feel icky about doing a pull on. And that's why I told him. You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
This is 29 Acacia Road, and this is Eric, the schoolboy who leads an amazing double life. For when Eric eats a banana, an amazing transformation occurs. Eric is Banana Man, ever alert for the call to action.
Hello, dear listeners. Do you enjoy playing video games with your best friends? Then I have the pod for you. I'm Philip, host of The Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Each week, my co-host Nave and I break down a cooperative experience in gaming. And we are always looking for new co-op partners to join us. So come play with us on The Gaming Together podcast.
So I'm standing over this toilet taking a piss and I'm playing my Pokemon and I dropped it in the toilet. I remember the Game Boy just tumbling into water. And I remember screaming for my mom, trying to get this Game Boy.
Wait, how old are you?
And she yelled at me.
Oh my god.
Like, traumatized. I was like, no, my Pokemon.
That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. Come on down, co-op partners.